My guest at this time is Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee. He joins me now to talk about his concerns over the omnibus spending bill and how he wants a democratic process approach to it in the U.S. Senate rather than just an up or down vote, which, of course, the leaders are asking for here in the next couple of days. And, Senator, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I know there's a lot of concerns among conservatives about the contents of the bill and the things that get fully funded. Your point in one of your statements that you've made is that a lot of these individual things never would have had a prayer of getting through in a Republican-controlled Congress, but they do now in the way that this omnibus was put together. Explain the frustration level with that.
Yeah, there's a high degree of frustration because what happens in a process like this, where there is no process other than having four leaders from the two houses of Congress go behind closed doors and negotiating a 2,000-page bill, everyone else is left out. That means you've got 433 congressmen whose constituents are effectively disenfranchised and 98 senators whose constituents are effectively disenfranchised, having no voice in the process at all. And a lot of things that are in there shouldn't be and wouldn't be if we had an open process. A lot of things that are not in there but should be are left out of it as a result of the fact that it's just impossible for four people to accurately represent the collective wishes and will of 300 million Americans.
We heard that there was going to be regular order this year. Explain for our listeners what ended up happening there and why we didn't get that.
Well, one of the things that contributed to it certainly was that when we tried to get on some of our spending bills earlier this year, for instance, on the bills that would fund veterans programs and military construction, for instance, the Democrats blocked our efforts to get on those bills, meaning they refused to give us enough votes to allow us to get onto the bill, to have a vote on what's called cloture on the motion to proceed. And that slowed things down. It made it difficult for us to legislate on those matters. And so that's part of what contributed to the process. There are still ways of getting over those hurdles, I think, ways that would involve prolonging the discussion, keeping people in session over the weekend and for periods of weeks at a time rather than just days at a time that might have brought us a different outcome. And I'd like to see more of that kind of process occurring in the future. But in the meantime, this kind of thing perpetuates itself as long as members of Congress continue to vote for bills like this. As long as they continue to pass, I think they will continue to happen this way. It won't be until members of Congress say, no, I don't care who's in charge. I'm not going to vote for a bill like this where I'm completely left out and where my voters in my state have no voice.
Senator, you are now calling for a six-week continuing resolution so there can be more open debate among more members about what ought to be involved in spending for the rest of fiscal year 2016. Explain what you hope that process looks like and why you think that given a few more weeks, it still wouldn't come down to ultimately trying to figure out what the president will and won't accept and what Democratic leaders will and won't accept.
Look, even if we put all of our spending decisions into one bill, even if we put on the floor something like this 2,000-page bill, at least that would give us a starting point. And if we had more time, if we had a few more weeks, we could have individual members be given the opportunity to come forward and say, here's what I like about this bill, here's what I don't like, here's what I'd like to change about it. We could have an opportunity to vote on possible changes to the bill, amendments. And if we had a few weeks to do that, the process would be much more representative of the American people and their needs and their wishes. So that's what I would prefer to have. Let's pass something to keep the government funded for 6 weeks or so, and let's come back and put this bill on the table, perhaps as a starting point, and then have votes on what that bill is going to look like at the end of the day. That's what I would prefer to see.
Senator, let me get your thoughts on the arguments coming from a couple different sides, really even inside the Republican Party. First of all, from the more conservative side, which obviously is where you stand, is that we as Republicans have the majority in the House, we have the majority in the Senate, and still somehow we get a bill that Democrats are publicly cheering while Republican riders end up getting left on the wayside. How did that happen? What does that tell us about the way leadership is acting right now?
Well, it is one of the problems of doing a bill this way. It requires a lot of speculation about what would and what would not bring enough votes to the table to get something passed. that leaders who are negotiating these bills, understandably, correctly, want to avoid a shutdown, just like I think everyone does. And so they're counting votes, and they're saying we're going to have to rely on at least some Democrats to vote for this, because we know that some Republicans are not going to like this bill or this process. And so that leads to a discussion of what can and what can't pass. And sometimes that's going to produce a bill like this one that Democrats might end up being a lot happier with than Republicans. And that has some Republicans understandably upset.
So when you hear the argument that conservative members, if they don't get the perfect bill, they probably won't go with the compromise bill. So therefore, the compromise bill actually gets worse, because if we could have more Republican votes for something that's not perfect, it wouldn't be as bad as what's getting sent out right now. What do you say in response to that?
I understand the argument. That argument carries no water here. That argument doesn't even apply here, because it's not just that the bill is imperfect. We're not demanding perfection. We're not insisting on perfection or nothing else. What we're saying is let's have at least some process. But when there is no process at all, and most members of the House and most members of the Senate are completely excluded from it, you're going to end up with a bad bill. Not just an imperfect bill, but a really bad one. That's the problem. And as long as we continue to vote for legislation that's developed this way, leaders in Congress are going to continue to run it this way, because it's just how it happens. So regardless of who's at fault here, I think there's fault that goes all the way around. This is an institutional problem. It's been created by institutional forces. Every member of Congress has in one way or another contributed to this, particularly when they vote for the end product. But until we stop voting for the end product and passing the end product when it's negotiated this way, this problem will continue.
As you've said, Senator, you believe this bill is bad in a number of ways. And there's a lot of things we could list here: busting the budget caps from the Budget Control Act, fully funding the EPA and some of the more controversial rules, funding the climate fund, sanctuary cities, all sorts of other things. The refugee program doesn't get paused at all. A lot of different things out there that have conservatives and many other people upset about this process. Which one gets you the most frustrated, if anything?
Well, it does frustrate me that, among other things, we had airdropped into this 2,000-page bill a cybersecurity measure that has not been adequately debated and discussed in public. You know, the Senate considered a bill a few weeks ago and considered amendments, voted on those amendments, passed a cybersecurity bill. I ended up voting against it because I still didn't think it did enough to protect the privacy interests of the American people. But at least that one had been through a process. At least that one had some improvements to it, based on the security concerns expressed by members of the Senate. This one is even worse than that one, and it has never really been debated and discussed in the Senate or elsewhere. And it was just airdropped in, and that upsets me. I'm also upset at the fact that this legislation, while keeping the government fully funded, of course, does nothing to restrict the president's ability to contribute to the Green Climate Fund, this fund that President Obama has promised to provide billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund in connection with the Global Climate Change Conference in Paris. I think that's a real big missed opportunity.
Exit question. Do you think that the votes are going to materialize for the current bill, or do you find that you're perhaps getting a groundswell of support for rejecting this and pursuing a strategy that you've already outlined here?
You know, it's never over till it's over. It's really hard to predict exactly how it will come out. Conventional wisdom is that there will probably be enough votes there to pass it. I understand that, and that's the backdrop against which I'm working. But I do think it's important to remember that the longer we continue in a state of affairs in which Congress continues to vote for legislation like this, again, 2,000-page bills that spend somewhere between a trillion and just under $2 trillion, depending on how you count it. And that bill has been negotiated by four people behind closed doors without any opportunity for debate, discussion, or amendment. As long as bills like that can continue to pass, this process will continue, and most of the American people will be effectively disenfranchised from the entire process. Their voice will be shut out, and that's wrong.
Not exactly the holiday spirit I'm sure you were hoping for as you finish up business for the year. Senator, thank you very much for your time today. We'll keep watch on the issue, and Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Greg.
Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.